Friends in Christ and fellow members of the church and family of God, grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus. Amen. The past few weeks, we've been looking at this very important prayer, the Lord's Prayer, and how it is, one, the prayer of the Passion, the process of understanding the suffering and the extent that God's love would take Jesus for you. We've talked about all the different mini little petitions, the little prayers that make up the Lord's Prayer, and we finally have gotten to this last moment where we close the Lord's Prayer. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Now, the past few weeks, I've been reading devotionally and kind of getting some ideas how we can understand this in the simplest way for you at home. And I've been bringing this book that's been really helpful by Christian author Max Lucado, The Great House of God. And I want to share with you these thoughts once more as we reflect on this last petition of the Lord's Prayer. He thinks of the Lord's Prayer as rooms of a house, much like your own home, and how each room has significant parts that differentiate it from other parts of the house, each room having a purpose. When we talk about being led not into temptation and being delivered from the evil one, he calls these the walls of the house. The walls. And hear these words. The small population of people who saw me play school athletics have never questioned my decision to enter the ministry. I have, however, received a letter reminding me of the time I deep-snapped a football over the punter's head. Another former classmate reminisced with me about the fly ball that slipped out of my glove and allowed the winning run to score. And then there was the time my buddy scored a touchdown on an 80-yard punt return, only to have it called back because his buddy, yours truly, got penalized for clipping. Oh, the pain of such memories. They hurt not just because I messed up, but because I helped the other team. It's bad to lose, and it's worse still to help your opponent win. Now, just reading that opening paragraph, that hit home for me, being an avid sports player, but sometimes failing to be the star athlete myself. He continues, my most blatant experience of aiding the opposition occurred in a sixth grade basketball tournament. I can't remember the exact score when I finally got to play, but I know it was close. I recall a loose ball, a scramble to grab it, and complete surprise when my teammate on the bottom of the pile threw it to me. When I saw that no one was between me and the basket, I took off. With the style of an MVP to be, I made a layup worthy of airtime on ESPN. My surprise at the ease of the basket was surpassed only by my surprise at the silence of the crowd. No one applauded. Rather than pat me on the back, my team buried their faces in their hands. That's when I realized what I'd done. I'd made a basket on the wrong end of the court. I'd aided the enemy. I'd helped the wrong team. No wonder no one tried to stop me. I was helping their side. Can you imagine how silly I felt? If you can, then you can imagine how silly Satan must feel. Such is the pattern of the devil's day. Every time he sets out to score one for evil, he ends up scoring a point for good. When he schemes to thwart the kingdom, he always advances it. Now, just reading that just reminds me of this very special time that we're living in. It's a time that a lot of us are frustrated, a lot of us are angry, A lot of us are worried or uncertain. But one thing that is certain, that we know that no matter how hard the devil schemes, no matter how hard the world brings us problems or the world brings us down, God is still ruling the day. God is still making good things happen. God is giving us an opportunity to join our families together. Hopefully for the better. Hopefully when we want to be by our families. God is giving us an opportunity to hear God's word in the quiet comfort of your home where you can really sit and focus and pay attention. God is giving you an opportunity to take some rest, to enjoy the leisure of life. You see, the devil is throwing problems our way. And if we look at the problems, we're going to be doing exactly what the devil wants us to do. Feeling bad and feeling distraught and wondering where God is. But if you're realizing that God is just allowing Satan to have his little fun, knowing full well he's scoring a point for us every day. And it's been true every time we hear the stories of Scripture. Think back in the book of Genesis. Father Abraham and his wife couldn't have kids. And God had promised Sarah a child, but she remained childless for decades. And Satan used that empty crib to stir up tension in their family and doubt. And throughout this 90-year-old maternity, God instructed millions that God still saves the best for last. Think about Moses, how he thought his life was ended when he was sent out in exile in the wilderness, only for God to leave him up on a high mountain to lead a whole nation of Israel out of slavery. We can talk about Daniel being in the lion's den. We could talk about Paul being imprisoned and yet still writing books of the Bible. Peter thinking that he was good and dead when he denied Jesus, only for him to be the greatest example of faith for us. You see, every time Satan scores a basket, the other team, you and I, on God's team, it gets all the points. That's what we're talking about when we're praying the Lord's Prayer, to be led out of temptation and being delivered from the evil one. Now, that last phrase in the Lord's Prayer is, again, a petition for protection over Satan. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And that's important. We sometimes, if you have been catching, I've been saying it a little differently. We normally say, deliver us from evil, like it's a noun. But in the original Greek language that this was written in the New Testament, it's talking about a person, the evil one. Deliver us from Satan himself. The fact of the matter is, folks, that we, despite when times are going on that are busy or crazy, we are in the midst of a battle, of a war over your own soul. God is trying very hard to win little battles every day, knowing full well that we have already won the victory in Christ. And so we still pray that we would be delivered from this evil one. Now, is such a prayer necessary? Would God ever lead us into temptation? It seems like it when we pray that, lead us not, like God's the one either leading us or not leading us. When people are tempted, however, they should say, not that God is tempting me, for evil cannot tempt God, and God himself does not tempt anyone. If God does tempt us, then why would we pray, lead us not into temptation? So again, these words are very troubling. But if we think like a child, they won't trouble us. This is a prayer for the childlike heart. This is a prayer for those who look upon God as their father. This is a prayer for those who have already talked to their Father about provision for the day. We just prayed, give us today our daily bread, trusting that he did it. And then we pray for pardon for yesterday. Forgive us our debts. And now, you, a child, needs that final assurance about protection. So this phrase is best understood with this simple illustration, he says. Imagine a father and a son walking down an icy street. Now, for us living in Wisconsin, that's not hard to imagine. It just recently was pretty icy. The father cautions the boy to be careful. But the boy is too excited to slow down. He hits the first patch of ice. Up go the feet and down plops the bottom. And dad comes along and helps him to his feet. The boy apologizes for disregarding the warning from his father, and then tightly holding his father's big hands, he asks, "Keep me from slipping the slippery spots. Don't let me fall again." And the father is willing to comply. Such is the heart of this petition. It's a tender request from you as a child of God to our Father. The last few slips have taught us. The walk of our life is too treacherous and too slippery to make alone. So we place our small hand in his large one and say, "Please, Lord, please, Father, keep me from evil." That's what we pray today, knowing that as we approach Holy Week, we have an Easter God. Jesus has already won the victory. He has defeated the power of sin. He has defeated the evil in this world. And he has most certainly defeated Satan and his schemes. So we continue to pray, trusting that he will deliver us. Not only from evil, not only from the evil one, but from one time and one day, the hardships and the stresses of the day. Because he can do far much greater. So now may the peace of God, which surpasses our understanding, guard your hearts and minds in the one true faith into life everlasting. Amen.